the Good News Station.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
We need better training, screening training for the TSA agents. They screen them. They do a good job screening, but you can always be better, particularly as ISIS gets more sophisticated.
Senator Chuck Schumer wants changes to airport security following the Belgium terrorist attacks.
Senator Schumer thinks TSA agents do a good job, but they need better training. And he says airport perimeter security is weak. And
we have to look at airport security before you check in. That's where these terrorists, they had bombs in their luggage. Some airports deal with that, some don't.
However, the New York Democrat thinks the U.S. does a much better job than Europe.
They don't surveil people as well. They don't keep track of people who have been to Syria and trained with ISIS and come back to their countries.
Scott Pringle, New York.
Two brothers are identified as the suicide bombers in the ISIS attack. A third man remains on the run. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. 10,000 military Bible sticks have been sent from Faith Comes By Hearing to VA chaplains around the country to be given to both active duty and to those veterans who have left the armed forces. Despite the fact Faith Comes By Hearing offers the complete Bible in the form of an app, military Bible sticks can be used anywhere, anytime. I spoke to retired chaplain Matt Cassidy at Faith Comes By Hearing.
If you're in a part of the world that's got some internet connectivity, you can hook up to that and you can get the Word of God in your language. It's a great tool. Those tools aren't available to our service members when they deploy simply because they don't have the access to the internet.
There is no way to use an app in a forward operating base, so the military Bible stick is ideal.
Not only can't you have a cell phone, you're not allowed to have a cell phone. You're not allowed to have anything that's going to send back any GPS information that's going to provide a signal that somebody could fix and target on. You can't have those things.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Ride-sharing company Uber is launching a program to pay hackers big bucks for finding bugs in their app's code. Here's Tammy Rose with details.
The Bug Bounty program offers hackers $10,000 for each critical problem they find. Uber will also dole out $5,000 to hackers who flag significant issues and $3,000 for medium issues. Lots of tech companies have similar programs, but the payouts in Uber's new offer are high. For example, AT&T bounties range from $100 to $5,000. Uber also says it is creating a loyalty reward program for hackers to help Uber deal with, quote, subtle bugs. I'm Tammy Rose.
For the 19th straight year, the New York Yankees are Major League Baseball's most valuable franchise. That's according to Forbes, which says the Yankees are valued at $3.4 billion. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news on usaradio.com.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
And Victoria's always working. Now, Greg Fasula, I thought he said he was going to be here, attorney. You know how that works?
Yes.
Yes, you do. So Pastor Tom is back from his, would we call your expedition a pilgrimage?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, we were walking in the footsteps of Paul.
So you started off?
In Athens.
And then you went?
Well, we started off right here at the station.
Well, I know our church, you had a whole slew of cars parked on the lot.
Yeah, we had all the cars parked out here. We were on the bus to Miami to take our trip. We were to fly from Miami to Vienna, and the bus broke down in Lake Worth.
It's only right.
And we missed our flight.
Ooh, that makes it more exciting.
So we missed Vienna altogether, but we ended up in Zurich.
Which is not a bad place to
end
up.
No, we had a layover there for about 8 hours. They got us a hotel room, put us there. We were able to go shower, freshen, take a nap, do whatever we wanted to do, and then get back to the airport, and then got to Athens, and then we spent the night there. Next morning early, we got about 2 hours of sleep. We had to get up early and get on the boat. We went cruising the Greek Isles and had a great time on the cruise. Came back, went up to Thessalonica, visited Philippi.
I didn't know Paul got to go on a cruise boat.
Well, yeah, he was on a boat. I don't know if it was a cruise boat. I think it was a transport
vessel. It might have had oars.
Yeah.
Or it might have had
a few sails.
Yeah.
But we had a great time.
Well, it was how many people went?
We had 29 that ended up. We had four that had to cancel. We had a lady that 2 days before we left, her mother died, so she didn't go. And then,
that's a decent excuse.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good. And then we had another gentleman, his wife and daughter. He's had some heart problems and was not able to travel with us.
Yeah.
And,
so the three of them decided not yet.
So those four canceled at the last minute, but 29 went. We had people from Texas. We had a lady from Anchorage, Alaska, one from Hagerstown, Maryland, and then the rest of everybody was all over the state here.
Yeah, yeah.
Listeners to the station.
And the trip was good.
Yes, we had a great time.
Yep.
Really did, once we got there.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Anybody that wants to talk on the show today, this is the Team Martech Hour, and you might have a bit of a problem understanding that nobody else on the team showed but me. But
well,
that does happen on occasion. On the other hand, I got Pastor Tom here, and Pastor Tom has become an expert on all the subjects that we talk about. Is that true?
No.
But you got to admit, you have learned a bit. Wait a
if
minute.
You say
quit,
so.
Quit vacillating there.
I forget most of it.
I know. Well, you're allowed to. You're old. You know, that happens. You know, you can have retention disability here, which it happens with old people. When you got all
short-term memory is shot.
What's that again?
Long-term memory is not much better.
Okay, class. We're going to talk about a couple of different subjects today, so I want you to write this number down. And if you're not writing it down and you're in a car, don't write it down. But you want to remember it. And it's not too hard because the last four digits are the call letters of the station, 8990, 8990. First number is 888, it's a toll-free exchange. And then the only thing that might be hard to remember is 221.
221's hard to remember.
I know it is. It's very hard. That's 221. This is not the two-step, but this is close. So we have 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. And for those of you that might have friends or relatives or neighbors or people that you really don't like too much that you think should be listening to this show, you can also get us online. You can't see us, but we stream online.
Yes.
WCNO.com.
And I was listening right in the middle of Greece.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now you were awake?
No, I was over there. But I had my cell phone and got on the Wi-Fi and listened to it there and anybody anywhere.
Did you learn anything?
No, there was music playing.
Oh, okay, good. Well, see, but he wasn't listening to us, you see. No, that hurts my little feelings now. You know that.
Let's see. About the time you were on, I was sleeping.
That's what I figured. Was there 7 or 8 hour time difference?
7 hours.
7 hours? Mm-hmm. So if it's 4 o'clock here, that makes it 11 o'clock there.
Yeah.
Okay. Time to go to bed.
Time to go to bed after running up the mountains.
You got that mule look, you know?
Mule?
Yeah, you know where they
I was looking for a mule.
Well, I remember in Santorini or Mykonos, one of them, they got these mules that take people up the mountain to get into the town.
That's if you've got all day.
Yes. And I don't remember if we did that or not. I think the other way to go was a gondola or something.
They have a
bus.
Skylift.
Yeah,
cable car.
Different ways to get from top to bottom.
But we took the bus.
Very good. So the concept of Team Martech is very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, also called a securities principal, which means lots of licenses. And what happened is, many, many years ago, I realized that in order to become a credible professional, that I had to associate myself with other professionals because there's no way that I knew the answers to every question that came up. So probably we think 04, but it might be before 04 because none of us can remember exactly, because one of the things hanging out with Pastor Tom, who's kind of old, you know, kind of rubs off, that we can't remember exactly when we started, but we're using Hurricane Andrew, no, not Andrew, Hurricanes Francis and Jean, 04, as our semi-official start doing the radio. And the concept originally was for me to put together local professionals that could help people. And the first one was Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, people look and they start to shake when you say that word attorney, but attorneys can be necessary, and evils, don't use that word literally. They're just necessary people from time to time, and they need to get paid because that's what they do. But one of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or suspect, I talk about a will and or a trust, and I try to counsel, and don't charge for this, this particular person on what they should do to handle their estate. Now people say, estate? What's my estate? I got a single wide trailer and a 64 Chevy pickup. Okay, that is your estate. Now what happens when you die? If you don't have it written down, what's going to happen? The courts can get involved and it can be a little bit messy. So if you do your paperwork properly, we can avoid a whole bunch of aggravation. So let me just explain what I'm talking about. Let's take your bank account. And I'm playing attorney now, and I don't mean to. I don't charge for this. This is just information. What you should do if you don't have a will or a trust, and even if you do have a will or a trust, you should go to your bank and say, do you have on file a TOD agreement with me? And if they say no, then you say, then I want to do one. And what that is a transfer on death. Now, if you're married, husband and wife, you die at your wife die at yours, that's no problem. But let's say you both get run over by a truck on the same day, or there's only one of you. The transfer on death agreement simply means whoever you write down, all they have to do is show up with a death certificate to the bank and they get the money. It doesn't have to go through the courts.
Now, that would be for your children, grandchildren, whoever you put on that.
I don't care who you want. Whoever you have written down in that agreement, it could be a church, could be a radio station, could be Pastor Tom, could be Joe Martech. We don't care who's written down. That person has to show up with a death certificate that says, you're gone, give me my money. And it's just that simple. And there's nothing wrong with doing this. This is a very smart thing. You can also do a TOD agreement on a brokerage account, which I'm a broker. So let's say you say, hey, Joe, I want to invest some money with you, and I want to get a debt instrument paying 5 or 6, or I want to buy stock or whatever I want to do. I say, okay, fine. If we don't have a trust, the thing we do is say, let's do a TOD agreement, transfer on death, So in the event you die, which is going to happen, we know that, that it doesn't have to go through the court system. No probate. Okay?
Now, that bank account or that investment that one might have, if it were in a trust, the trustee can do what they will.
If it's in a trust, you are in charge of the trust while you're alive. The day you die, we have the next person that's in charge. And according to what the trust says, they have to do what the trust says.
And my question is that if I have my bank account and it's listed as a part of the trust, do I need a TOD?
No.
Okay.
But if you don't have a trust, then even if you have a will, understand a will is subject to probate. Not necessarily the asset is not necessarily subject to probate, but the will is, where a trust is not. So literally, is the trust a necessary thing? Not necessarily, because if, let's just take...
It depends on your assets.
Well, that's it. So let's take your homestead. You have a house and you live in it, it's your homestead. That's not subject to probate. That can transfer to relatives.
Now, that is that for the state of Florida or nationwide?
No, state of Florida. Because I live here and I don't know anything about other states. But the bottom line is, Florida has a homestead rule that says that is not subject to probate. And secondly, third, more important, maybe not as important, it's also not subject to attachment by creditors. What's that mean? You're in a car accident, you run over somebody, you get sued for $10 million and lose, and all you've got is $100,000 worth of insurance. $100,000 is gone quick. Then the insurance company or the other person that you ran over, his family comes back after you, and they take everything you've got, but they cannot take your homestead. Your homestead is not...
Now, what about your furnishings and all of that? Is that part of the homestead?
No, the furnishings are not. Normally, if you take furniture, it ain't worth much. Used furniture is not worth much, and most times they don't even want to screw with it unless you've got antique stuff that's been appraised and is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, or artworks that are worth hundreds of thousands. I mean, there are certain things that all of a sudden an attorney...
So if you have valuable possessions, perhaps it'd be a good idea to have those in a trust.
Amen. So when you have valuable possessions like that, very often people transfer the ownership of that to the trust, so it's not subject to probate. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily on a lawsuit that you're protected, but the bottom line is it does give you some protection, but it can be pierced, and it has been successfully, so that is not the reason for doing it. The reason for doing the trust is to avoid probate, because the probate period normally takes 6 months. Attorneys can charge by guideline, and I'm Greg was here for Sula, he would explain, roughly 3% of the value of the estate. So let's say we had $1 million worth of probatable estate. That's $30,000 in attorney's fees. But if you had a trust that you paid $1,000, $1,200 or whatever the dollar figure is, there's no probate. It doesn't go through that. So you just saved your family 6 months and a ton of attorney
cash,
fees.
Yeah.
So the concept is this. The reason I'm getting into this in some depth is because it's a subject that is in the last week, two different clients. One I met with yesterday, a young woman, and she's got some special areas that really can only be handled in the trust. One, she owns multiple pieces of real estate. Her homestead is exempt, but a rental piece or another piece of property is now subject to probate. She also has a special needs child that could be a full-grown adult child, but special needs mean there's a whole different set of rules. So a lot of what I try to do, even though I don't do these things, I have a good working knowledge of them, and I counsel people, and then I get them to make notes, write down all kinds of stuff, and then normally I meet with somebody two or three times before they go to an attorney so they know the questions to ask. And very often I know the answers, but I want them to hear it from the attorney who's got the legalese down, and he has the credentials to do it. And he's the guy that's going to draft these documents and do them properly so they apply with the state of Florida with what the regs are.
Now, what if someone has a trust or a will? Maybe they got it up in New Jersey. They moved to Florida. Yep. Should they redo that?
Not necessarily redo it. But they should have a Florida attorney look at it and make sure it's valid in the state of Florida.
If this is their primary residence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If it's their primary residence, that's it. If New Jersey is their primary residence and they've got two or three homes all around the country or whatever, normally you can have pieces of real estate scattered all over, but if they're in a trust and it's in where you're domiciled, it's going to fall under those laws. Now, you may have to pay taxes or whatever in the other state, whatever it might be, but what we're trying to do with this trust document is avoid the court system. And we avoid 6 months to a year worth of aggravation and lots of money that would go to attorneys. So,
now, what if you have a relative that wants to contest that trust? And can they do that?
Yes, they can. Anybody can contest anything. Have you not noticed this is Sue America?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean S-U girlfriend Susan. I'm talking about we have the ability to sue anybody for any reason we want. If we have the money to hire an attorney, we can sue. Now, oftentimes these things are thrown out of court if the documents are done very well, but that doesn't mean that it cannot be. A will very often is contested successfully where trusts are more difficult to contest. I'm not saying they're not able to contest them, but the truth is the trust is a tighter document. And it might convey many different pieces of property where you can transfer the asset from when you're dead. They go from the trust into whoever you want them to go to, and there's a procedure for all this stuff. And then there's a second trustee. You're the one while you're alive, and then you have another person or persons. Like I have a client right now that's got four children, and they're named in order, 1, 2, 3, 4. In case something happens, forget that in case, when something happens to her, if these children are alive, number one is in charge. If number one can't do it, won't do it, or is not around, number two, number three, number four would be in charge of making these decisions. Now, understand another thing, folks. When you meet with an attorney, the attorney, if how do I phrase this gently, is not worth two dead flies. Is that gentle enough? Point is, what he's normally going to do is put a package together which includes a healthcare surrogate. Healthcare surrogate means this. You're in a car accident and you're out to lunch, you're in a coma or something. Somebody has to be able to make a decision to tell these doctors what to do with you. Doctors and hospitals really don't like making decisions on their own because they're subject to lawsuit. But if you have the authority to pull the plug, unplug, cut, dice, whatever it might be, that's what this healthcare surrogate does. So it's a really important document. The next document that's important is a power of attorney, and that might be the most important one of all. A power of attorney says, hey, I'm out to lunch, and I give Pastor Tom this power of attorney that says, hey, whatever needs to be done, Tom can do it as long as it's in my interest. So he's going to pay my electric bill.
And it would stipulate when and how.
Yeah. It gives you the authority to do whatever needs to be done for the best interest of me. And you get a complete authority. Now, is this a good thing? Well, to me, it's critical. Here we are again. I'm out to lunch. I'm in a hospital. I'm not dead. And I might live 6 months or a year out to lunch. Who's going to pay the electric bill? Who's going to make the mortgage payment? Who's going to collect whatever needs to be done? Very often this document called the power of attorney allows a person or persons the authority and responsibility to take care of that stuff.
Now, what if one doesn't have that?
Well, then the court comes in.
The court would make those decisions.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. So you normally, and let me just tell you this, any attorney that I would ever talk to would definitely include with a will and or a trust a power of attorney, a healthcare surrogate.
Now, what do they do? Do they appoint someone to do that?
Who?
The court.
No, the court would, yeah, if you don't have these documents. Mm-hmm. Now you have a period of time, and let's just say they appoint somebody you don't like, and you're part of the beneficiary of the will or whatever it might be, and that piece was, it could be a fight.
What about someone who doesn't have children or there's no living relatives, someone that, you know, maybe... they may have a friend or something, but the friend doesn't want to be burdened with that.
Point is this.
What can they do?
Well, point is they should name somebody, whether they like it or not. You know, I've always told everybody, when in doubt, name Pastor Tom. Don't tell him.
No.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But I've heard that some people, that there's an officer at the bank.
Yes.
That will take.
Normally, trust departments in banks, that's what they do. They manage trusts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, power of attorney is a whole separate thing because the power of attorney gives back again. I'm in a coma. I'm in the hospital. I'm not going to die. Maybe I'm going to, but I got a house payment and I got electric bill. and I've got a car payment. And I've got the income coming because of my Social Security or my pension or whatever. If they don't pay those things, they're going to repo the house and they're going to repo the car and they're going to turn my electric off. You know, and then the house is going to get all moldy and mildewy, and this is not good. So the power of attorney becomes an important document, and that can be an all-encompassing document or it can be limited to just certain things. Here becomes a conversation with you and the attorney to get it drafted the way you want. There's one more document. They call it a living will. And I think this is an important one also. And that is, here goes again, I'm in this car accident and I'm out to lunch and I'm in a coma. And the doctor comes and says, hey, he's out to lunch. He's never coming back. He's brain dead. Can we pull the plug? Well, if my living will says, hey, according to Pastor Tom, if I'm out to lunch and he's my designated person to make that decision, and I say in here, let me be out to lunch for no more than 30 days. And if in the opinion of medical professionals, there's no possible recovery, pull the plug. Remember they had this Terri Schiavo some years ago, mm-hmm. and it was a fight between her husband and family for a long, long time. Monster amount of dollars went to attorneys. That could have been avoided with strictly this document. So when you do this will and or trust, no matter what you do, you're going to put together the will and or trust. Then you're going to put together a power of attorney, a health care surrogate. Somebody's got to make the decision for you on your health, operate, don't operate, do a lobotomy, do whatever needs to be done, and a living will. Those are the normal documents that I've seen if an attorney is doing it properly. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And the reason I'm talking about this, because Greg Fasulo, attorney, I thought was going to be here today. Evidently, he's not. And these are subjects that I
would. I don't see him.
I don't see him. He's gotten awful skinny if he is, because he's hiding. Anyway, these are just things that I normally talk about. As I said, I met with a client of mine yesterday in the afternoon, and my job is to counsel. I don't charge for this, but I wanted her to know what her options were because, you know, everything is easy once you know it, right? But if you don't know it...
It's easier.
Yeah. And then how do I phrase this thing properly? Well, what I try to do with my clients or prospects or suspects is get them ready before they go in to see the attorney to know the questions they want to ask. So the attorney knows, okay, how do I phrase this document to meet the requirements of the client, okay? So it's just that simple. 1-888-221-8990. So let me talk about the next member of the group when we started. And that was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Now, you might have noticed I kind of milked that word. Whoop, we got somebody wants to talk to us. So I'm going to talk to them first.
Okay.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. How you guys doing today?
Hey, doing real good. I'm putting up with Pastor Tom, who just got back from Greece and walking in Paul's footsteps, you know, and he doesn't look any holier to me than when he left, but he thinks he is.
I have a few questions for you guys. I'm 29 years old. I've been in the aerospace/aviation industry for about 7 or 8 years now, and, you know, pensions are kind of non-existent anymore. I was wondering, what would you tell yourselves if you go back in time when you're 29 years old, how you would be more wiser for retirement investments?
Well, you know, people have asked me, said, Joe, would you do everything over the same way you did it? I said, of course not. I mean, that was easy. Yeah. I do a ton of things different. So let's just talk about you specifically. You're 29. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. I have one child.
Okay. Now, have you bought a house?
Yes, I've owned a home since 2007.
Okay. Now, is your wife working?
She works part-time as a server.
Okay. So now we have you having an income. How secure is your position, your job?
It's pretty secure.
Okay. So now, here's what happens. We have two things we have to worry about. You have this one child, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have more children?
I plan on it, and that's another financial situation that me and my wife are very closely discussing and making decisions on just because of the healthcare issues.
And that's, so, and that's exactly where I'm going with that. So here's my point. You'll hear guys like me always say, okay, save for retirement. And so they open up retirement accounts, which can be with your employer, a 401k, on your own can be called, the company you work for is not providing anything. Are you an independent contractor, or do you work on a salary job with a paycheck, and there's lots of you working for the...
Yeah, salary, I have a Roth 401 with this current employer.
Okay.
And...
You're doing really good. That 401k, do they match any of the money that you put in?
Yes, they match 6%. I put in 7%.
Let me just tell you something. You hit a home run. You hit a home run. That's 100%.
Yeah, it's free money.
It's exactly. It's 100% return immediately on every dollar you put in, up to 6%. Any money you put over that, they're not matching. But what happens is that's 100% return. And then inside of that 401k, there are investment options, many, many different things, usually 10 or 20 different things that you can be invested in. Sometimes they have a formulation based on your age. There's all kinds of different ways that you can decide, with the help, hopefully, of the 401k agent, what is the best place to be invested. But let me just give you a generality based on your age, a generality. I'm not saying this is 100% correct, but if we look at the Standard & Poor's 500, which is 500 of America's biggest companies, the blue chips they're called, historically, they have averaged 8 to 10% a year forever, because these companies are every big name you've ever heard of. And there's a there's another one that is called the NASDAQ 100. NASDAQ 100 includes little companies like Facebook and Netflix and Amazon and some household names that almost everybody that's young knows and heard of dramatically, that have been really, really stellar companies. All of these indexes that I'm talking to you about are weighted, meaning the bigger the company is, the higher the percentage of this 500 companies or 100 companies are there. So if I was you today, I would be looking specifically at those two areas, the S&P 500 as one, the NASDAQ 100 as the other. And when you look at your statement that you get and you read the names of these funds, 500 should jump out at you if it's available, and the 100 NASDAQ should jump out of you if it's available. And if you can't figure that out by looking at it, you call up the company who has a rep and you say, hey, I'd like to put my money into the NASDAQ 100 50% and then the S&P 500 50%, because long term, because I'm not going to retire for the next 40 years or 35 or pick a number, I have a good chance to have a tremendous amount of assets available for myself and my spouse when I retire. Make sense?
Okay.
Now,
makes perfect sense.
Now, is your 401k truly a Roth, or is it a traditional, or do you know?
I'm not sure. I believe it's an actual, it's a Roth.
Okay. What I would do, I would double check and be sure, because here's what happens with a Roth. A Roth, there is no tax deduction for the money you put in now out of your paycheck. And if the company matches it with 6%, that's probably another taxable event, meaning now there's 12% a year income added to your taxable income and you pay tax on it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because the rule of a Roth is, when you take the money out down the road, not only is what they put in tax-free, all the growth is tax-free. So literally, you might put $100,000 in over a period of time, and it could be worth $1 million when you retire, 100% tax-free. So
That was what I wanted to do.
Okay, I would double check with your company and make sure you're willing to pay the taxes now, which is nothing wrong with that. And then when you turn 59 and one half, you basically can start taking money out, no penalty, no tax, no nothing. You can also, what you've already done it, buy a house with some Roth money. And there's an exception for taking money out, but you've already done that, so forget that part. But the key is, I would be looking, because of your age, with this long-term plan of being in the market, even though the market is probably going to be flat this year and flat last year, at some point, America's not going out of business. These companies will continue to grow and prosper. And the job of the S&P 500 is to take the 500 biggest companies, and the NASDAQ 100 is pretty much the biggest of that whole group. And I would bet that given another 20 or 30 years, you'd be averaging 10 to 12% per year growth. And just do the math based on what you've got in plus what you're adding, you're going to be substantial.
Yeah, that's the plan. My wife and I have been talking, and she's going to be getting into real estate. And I kind of want to get out of, I wanted to start my own business. But I wanted to start my own business when I was 30 as a goal of mine.
Right.
So
right.
I'm a little close to that. And I think we're going to try to go the real estate route.
Meaning she's going to get licensed. She's going to get licensed in real estate.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that picture. You know, right now, obviously the market's hotter than a pistol, but the truth is, a good real estate agent, in good times and in bad times is going to do well because they work. The key is know your stuff. And if you're diligent and you work hard, you're going to do well. It's an opportunity, and Florida's a growth state. So, I mean, I see absolutely nothing wrong. One more thing, though. File this one away. When you leave your employer, you have that 401k, and let's assume it's vested, meaning they've given you this money and it's yours to take. You roll it over from them, and you put it into what's called an IRA, which means under your control, individual retirement account, rather than under the control of the company. You with me on that?
I'm with you on it.
So what you do is, you don't worry about that today, but you might ask them, your carrier, am I vested? Meaning every time the company puts in a dollar and I match it with a dollar, is that mine? Can I cash it in and leave the next day, next week, next month, next year? Just so you know what the rules are. Some companies don't vest for 2 or 3 or 5 years. Some vest immediately. You just need to know what your rules are.
Okay.
But literally, I definitely, when the time comes, if you start your own business, that you roll that money into an individual retirement account. And by the way, in any kind of IRA, you name beneficiaries. So that means if you decide to die, it automatically goes to your spouse. No tax, no penalty, no nothing. It becomes her IRA. And if you both get run over by a truck at the same time, it will go to your child. So those are written down in these documents. As a matter of form, and I've never heard, well, I can't say never, a couple of times only have I ever seen an agent that neglected to write down the beneficiaries, because that's a critical thing.
Okay, so if you went into the separate IRA, would you do the same thing
absolutely.
You talked about before?
Same investments, nothing would change. Investments would be exactly the same. But now all of a sudden, let's say you're 55 or 60 and you've funded this thing, you might get a little bit more conservative at that point and say, okay, I don't want to be on the market anymore. I might just look at things that are paying 4, 5, 6%, a little bit more conservative, rather than watching the market come and go, come and go, come and go. You know, I kind of joke about it, but I say to people, you know, it pays you to die on the right day when the market's up. You're worth more. So it's not that easy to do that. But the reality, you've got a long ways to go. So that, in my opinion, that's if you were my client, I would be saying, hey, right now, this is the way you should go with this vehicle. Now, next part of the scenario is, if you go into business on your own, you're not going to have a 401k unless you start one for you and your employees, if you have employees. Now, if your wife is an independent contractor as a real estate agent, she can have any number of different numbered retirement accounts, which allows her to put in different amounts of money percentage-wise. And rather than getting into the long dissertation now, just file away and remember to call me when and if these events occur, and I can help guide you in the right direction to both of your mutual benefit. And are you doing anything about college education for your child?
Yeah, we're currently putting away $100 a month She's two. So we're currently printing away $100 a month.
Okay.
We were going to do the Florida prepaid ordeal, but budget-wise, it's kind of expensive and stretches out a little bit. So we decided just to put away $100 a month for now. That works.
You know, listen, there's nothing wrong with either way, but you've got the thing addressed. But the Florida prepaid is a great program. But once you get enough dollars in there and you start taking a look at it, because it's in the long run, I personally like it better than any other vehicle, because makes sure this child's going to have a college education, and you're not going to have to pay the going rate back when she finally gets ready to go. You're going to have a lesser rate. So I applaud you. I think you're really got your head on right, and you're doing the right thing.
Appreciate it. I do have one more question. I don't know if we have time.
Go ahead.
If I have the IRA, is it better? And you told me, yeah, manage it yourself and all that kind of stuff. Is it better for me to manage it myself, because I'm not really sure about how the market really works and stuff, or is it better for the actual company that's holding my IRA to kind of manage it for me? I know there's fees and stuff attached to that.
Well, there's no free lunches in the world. You know that, of course, unless you're a politician. We have to forget those people. But anyway, the key is this.
Don't go there.
I know. I'm not allowed to talk about this.
That's a whole nother hour.
I'm not allowed to talk about it at all. Pastor Tom just gave me a dirty look. Anyway, the key is this. Managing it yourself means, here's Joe Martek saying right today, S&P 500, you can look it up on the internet, study it, you'll understand the companies, there's every one of them's listed, and the NASDAQ 100. These are stock exchanges, and these companies, when they go public, which means they can issue common stock, they're traded on these exchanges, and these are the backbone of our country, with the companies that I'm talking about, these two indexes. So, yes, you're managing it yourself, but on the other hand, you're putting it in an index that is managed by a company, and they're going to charge a minimal fee per year, because there's no such thing as you can't pay somebody. You got to pay somebody with this 401k or this IRA, but it's insignificant in the scope of things. Meaning, let's say that every one of those stocks this year averaged 10% gain, and because there's a company involved, instead of getting 10%, you're going to get 9.75% or 9.5%.
Yeah.
So it's insignificant, because they have the vehicle, because it'd be almost impossible for you to go out and buy stock in 500 companies, putting in $100 a month or pick a number, whereas they already have these things in place and you're going to pay them a minimal fee. And it's a matter of getting educated, but it's really pretty much that simple.
Yeah, got it.
And if you ever have questions, you know, you just call up the show. This is really good stuff you're asking, because you're not the only person out there that happens to be 18, 28, 38, 48, 58, keep picking a number, that doesn't understand this stuff perfectly. And it's not your job to understand it perfectly. But if you understand it reasonably well and understand where your risk is, you've scored 90%.
Awesome. If you don't mind, I just drove by a wreck on 95. I would like to pray for the person involved in this accident, because it looked pretty bad.
You lead us in prayer.
Is that okay?
Lead us in prayer.
Lord, please be with the people that were involved in this wreck. Lord, just be with them. We know that our time on this earth is very precious, and that you're in total control, and just be with their families today, Lord, and just heal them if they need to be healed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Good prayer, my man.
Thank you.
All
right.
Thank you so much for all your advice and everything. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, Joe, listening to this caller, it's really good that, you know, a young fellow like that is getting this information. There's a lot of older people out there wish they had the kind of information that you've just given to him. You think about, you know, some of the things that's happened with the tech stocks.
Oh,
and,
boy. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of the advice that I got early on in investing was, man, you need to put your money over here. This is hot. That's
hot.
Yeah. How did those S&P and all of that, how did they fare when we had the Enron failures and the tech stock failures and all of that. Did those two indexes, did they perform well even though everything around them was falling apart?
Yes and no. Don't you love that answer?
Well, you know, I figured that they took a hit as well as everything else happens. Because of what happened with the economy.
Let's do this as a general.
A lot of those tech stocks and Enron and all that stuff, they're not even around anymore.
Well, let's talk about literally what you just said. Let's talk about the Dow. Have you heard of the Dow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know how many companies that is? It's 30.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow is an index. Now, can you buy the index and invest in all 30 of those companies? Yes. Remember I'm telling him? Yeah. The S&P 500 is an index. He can guide his investments in there. The NASDAQ 100 is an index. The NASDAQ total is like 3,500 companies. But the S&P 500 is 500 of America's biggest companies. Just pick all the names. And the NASDAQ 100 happens to be more tech-heavy, meaning some of the big names in it right now are Amazon.
You mentioned Amazon and
Netflix and Facebook. And I mean, if you and I had bought Facebook when it first came out, you know, we'd have a lot of money today because it went up like a rocket and it's still good and it looks like to be a good one. Apple is another company. But understand this. What Tom is bringing up is buying one company. You buy one company. I don't care what company it is, including General Motors, who went bankrupt. People lost all their money. Enron, monster company, lost all their money. But if you're in a 500 companies and one of them goes bust, you lost max 1/500th of the value of the account, and it's insignificant because there's no such thing as every single one of these always going up. It's impossible. So what we do,
and it's impossible for every one of them to fail.
And it's a whole thing.
Nearly impossible.
Let's just put it, if Armageddon hits and the rapture comes, and God says, "Okay, it's Tom, over. You and Joe don't get to go. You have to stay." We're not going to care about our stock.
No, we have bigger things to worry about.
We have bigger things to worry about. First, I got to grow my vegetables and trade your vegetables for you, and I hope you can.
I don't think we'll even have a piece of ground to grow vegetables on, Joe.
1-888. That's another problem.
That's another problem.
The ground might glow. Anyway,
right.
We might glow. 1-888-221-8990.
I'd rather just be ready and go.
You know, yes, we both agree with that one. You know, that was the other radio station that I do, WPSL 1590 AM. I'm on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's 1590 AM WPSL, which you can, by the way, you can do that one online too, WPSL.
Is that in the area?
Yes, it is. Happens to be. PSL is kind of a pseudonym for Port St. Lucie. I know.
I'm being mean.
But I'm used to it. Anyway, what happens is that back a few years ago, maybe 2, 3, 5, I forget how long ago it was, that old preacher who was 90-some years old, who had a lot of credibility, said the world's going to end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him?
Yeah, vaguely.
And of course, it didn't. And I remember walking in that next day to do my radio show, and the owner of the radio station goes, "Joe, I am so upset." And I said, "Greg, what's wrong?" He says, "Man, I was so ready to leave." Well, so much for that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, when I try to listen to a person, this young man seems to have his act together. He's got a house, got a baby, got a wife.
Got his priorities in order.
Got his priorities in order. So then what you do is, after you get these priorities taken care of, which he's doing, he's a very smart young guy, then you start worrying more about retirement. But, well, I've seen oftentimes young people try to save money for retirement before they buy a house, before they have that baby. The cart and the horse, in my opinion, are let's take care of the things that are necessary first.
Well, it's kind of hard to invest for retirement if you're unhappy with the house you're living in.
Renting and you want to buy.
Yeah.
And you put money in a retirement account that you should have used for the down payment on your house or for the expenses. Then you cash in your retirement account. You pay a penalty if you're not.
And then you're behind.
Yeah, you just lost 10%, plus you got to pay tax on it if it's a traditional retirement account. The Roth, by the way, folks, what he was talking, a Roth IRA means when you put money into it while you're working, you pay tax on it. But the Roth IRA says that money and all of the growth is all tax-free when you take it out when you're officially old. So the key is this. Is it the right thing to do? And it depends on the person, which way they're going. I look at, let's say you're a government employee, you know you're never going to get fired. Man, I got to tell you, Roth is probably the smartest thing in the whole world, because now I know I'm going to get a pension. I'm going to get Social Security from my employer, and I'm not going to get fired while I'm alive. So a Roth can be real good. On the other hand, if I'm making really good money now, but I'm not going to be making any money when I retire except my Social Security, I might have in a traditional, which means I can deduct what I put into this IRA as a tax deduction and not pay tax on it. Then I finally retire. I get to be old like Pastor Tom, and I start taking the money out at my tax bracket at that time. But if I'm only living on Social Security and no pension,
your taxes are low.
Your taxes are low. So you have to look at each individual and make the determination which way to go. Also, if you have a 401k and if you make certain amounts of money, you're not always allowed to have both. So now comes a tax question. And I know generally the rules, but what I have to do is look at each individual and where the cutoffs are and before I can advise. So that's where a CPA comes in.
Are you limited in the number of IRA accounts you can have?
No, but you're limited to the amount of money you can put aside each year.
So if you have one, the maximum you can contribute is how much?
The total you can contribute, period, is if you're under a certain age, which is 60 or 50 or whatever it is $5,500 a year. If you're over a certain age, you can put $6,500.
Well, what would be the benefit of having maybe a Roth IRA and a traditional?
Well, one has no tax when I take the money out. One is going to be subject to tax when I take it out. Sometimes mm-hmm. people do both. They do it $3,000 in one, $3,000 in the other. You can do that. You've got the spousal.
Would the growth be any different?
No, not necessarily. If you're invested in the same exact thing, both of them, there will be no difference at all.
Well, what would be the advantage of having two accounts then?
Back again. One has no tax when I take the money out. One does. So what I'm looking at is, where am I going to be, my best guess, 30 years from now? Because he's 29. 30 years from now, he'll be 69. Okay, so wait a couple of years before you retire. Maybe you're going to retire at 70, because that's what happens. You know, we're living longer. People aren't retiring quite as early. Maybe you're going to retire at 60. We have to look at each individual person, because everybody is unique and each circumstance is different. Now, his wife, you also have what's called a spousal. She doesn't even have to work, and I can put money aside out of my paycheck into an IRA for her. This back to this $5,500 a year. If we have a 401k.
Now, is that cumulative between the husband and the wife?
Each, or for $5,500 each? But if it's a 401k and I'm making good money, I may not be allowed to put any money into an IRA because I'm contributing to this Roth. The government doesn't allow you to just contribute blindly how much. But let's complicate it. You ready? Now I'm self-employed. I'm making a couple hundred thousand a year. Instead of a traditional or a Roth IRA, we have things called SEPs, S-E-P. We have different words and different numbers for different people based on different occupations, different jobs, different circumstances. But if I have a company and I own the company and I want to refund my IRA with 10 or 20,000 a year, I have to do the same thing for everybody. So it doesn't work for everybody. You have to know each individual person. We have to sit down and say, hey, what are the circumstances? What can we do to, how much can we contribute? There's 457s, which are defined benefit programs. I mean, it gets complicated as all get out, but you don't know the answer till you know the question. And you have to know the circumstances to come up with the question. And then we can go find out what the best answers are long term. Am I answering this thing?
Sounds good to me. We've run out of time just about. If anybody wants to call, the toll-free number, 888-221-8990. You got about 2 minutes.
You said four. I'm looking at your card.
Well, we got about 2 minutes to call because you got to give them an answer.
And guess what? Somebody just called when you said that.
Well, maybe.
There's a possibility.
Possibility.
Now, if you don't want to talk to me on the radio, by the way, which I really appreciate that young man that called in, because that was good information that we could share, you can call the radio station. Talk to Pastor Tom or Connie. They will take your name and number, and I'll call you back, or whoever needs to be. Which, you know, I mentioned Dan, independent insurance agent, how important he is. And I mentioned Greg Fasula, attorney, how
you
important.
You did?
I didn't mention Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax's Stewart, who's a realtor, who is probably she's just as hard a working person as there is alive. But in the meantime, I'm taking a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon, Joe and Tom. I have a real estate question.
Got it.
Okay. Question being, I own a piece of, a house. My mother passed away a year ago, and I own this piece of property with my brother, who lives in it, and it's his primary residence. It is not my primary. I'm across the state from him. Really want to sell the house. We'll just say, in theory, the house is worth $100,000. I want to sell it, and he doesn't.
Now, when your mom died, did she leave the house to both of you?
Correct.
So you're 50-50 owners. Can he buy you out?
Maybe. I don't really know if he'll buy me out or not. Maybe not.
Okay, so let's just say no, and you say, "Hey, brother."
He's being a hard hit.
Yeah. Brother, I want you to buy me out of this thing. Let's get a new mortgage. And even if you can't afford to qualify on your own, I'll help you qualify, but I want to take my share out, and I can still stay on it with you. We can do anything, but you guys have to agree. This is not the easiest thing in the world, because if it didn't state when your mom died in the will or the trust that the place had to be sold and then divided, it may have just said it's up to you guys to do whatever. So now you've got a conflict, and you need to meet and talk. And sometimes it doesn't hurt to meet and talk with a third party in the middle to kind of arbitrate, because, you know, siblings, if you haven't noticed, don't always agree.
Yes.
So literally, I'm not making this easy for you, but there is no easy way. You could force such an issue, which you don't want to do, I'm sure, because that called the court or whatever. But literally, he should be able to buy you out. If he cannot qualified to do a mortgage, you may have to be on it and take the cash out and your co-signer, and which is more risk, but at least you'd have the cash and something you could do with it.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. There's no easy one with this. The other side of the coin, if he doesn't want to sell it, you just say, "Hey, I'm going to have to hire an attorney, and we're going to have to sell it, because that's what I can do." And if he doesn't, you know, it's not easy, and you don't want to really blow the family apart doing this, but you may have to if you want it bad enough.
Certainly. Well, yeah, it's just sitting there. It's not doing me any good.
I understand.
You know, $50,000 a year, and he's just sitting in it.
Well,
there's no payment on it, so he's basically living rent-free.
He's got a great deal. Well, who's paying the taxes and insurance and maintenance?
He will, and is.
Okay, well, then it's not all bad, but the bottom line is your asset, in order for you to get your money out, he's going to have to die, and if he's young, you're in trouble. Anyway,
okay.
We're running out of time here, but listen, the whole thing is this. If you haven't, you need to sit down with them and say, how do we accomplish both of our goals? You stay in the house, and I get my cash, and if he agrees, then I can help you with a plan.
Very good.
All right, listen, I have to go.
All right,
we're out of time.
Outstanding show. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. 1-888-221-8990. And until next week, I'm gone.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
Can't you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm